The Strategic Hotbox with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
My name is Brandi. For anybody that doesn't know me, welcome to the Strategic Hotbox. I'm an organizational change consultant and motivational speaker. I work primarily in financial services. However, I work with organizations all over the globe, some in nonprofit, you know, credit unions, banks, etc. But I'm excited to talk today with you. And we have a very important topic, and that is to increase your influence. And what does that mean to be influential in business? And we have a subject matter expert, someone that I find to be one of the most influential people that I know, Mr. Frank Diekman, and he will be joining us here very soon. But first, I would like to describe to you the segments. For those that have watched all the podcasts, at this point, you're just in it. You know exactly what's happening. But if you haven't, and this is the first time you're joining us, welcome. I'm glad you're here. You're going to love it. And then you'll go back and you can watch all the other ones before. But the three segments are learn, love, and kick ass. Someone asked me recently about my leadership journey and to describe that into three words. And that ended up kind of being the three words that really has been my journey, because I think that it's all about learning. It's a leadership challenge. It's how can we get together to be better at what we do? And I really feel like the Strategic Hotbox is an opportunity or avenue to be able to do that. It's about sharing knowledge and information in a way that's cool, and access to business and business leaders in a very raw and authentic and non-intimidating way. And what I mean by that is there are some pretty amazing raw and authentic coaches or leaders out there that spread their message and use curse words and do all these different things, but are very self, and they self-proclaim this, obviously, they haven't gone through the traditional methods of learning or education and that type of thing. And I think that should be the challenge. I'm on an expedition to make education cool. We should be having these conversations. It should be cool to be informed. And I think that if kids can run around a park chasing Pokemon figures, right, why not do a little Googling of the things that'll help them be better in their careers? And so we're in this doing it together. So learn is our first segment. And today, as I mentioned, it's all about influence. So we're going to talk about what is that? Why do you want it? How can I get more of it? And I feel like, you know, influence is like one of those things like hook me up with the influence, man. And it kind of makes me think of that Cheech and Chong, you know, like, hey, it's me, Dave, man. I got the stuff. So it's like, hey, it's me, Brandi, and Frank today, and we got the stuff. We got the stuff for you. And so in love, of course, we'll talk about the relationships. We'll speak to Frank. And then the kick ass is really the section you'll walk away with some tangible things in order to make a difference and stuff you can start implementing today. So influence from my perspective is the ability to connect with other people to achieve a certain desired result, right? So whether that influence is used in the boardroom and you want the board to make a decision as you, a CEO, or if that influence is in the bar and you're just trying to con one of your good buddies into taking that last shot with you, which you probably shouldn't be having at 2 a.m. I have no experience with that whatsoever. But it's this idea of influence, right? The ability to be able to do that and to have your focus on what you want to achieve. In the short term, you can have an amazing event. You can create like a raving fan or have this event that ends up like where you can in the moment have some influence. But how do you translate that into long term, right? And it's really comes down to the phrase, and the only way to say this appropriately is if you get a little like gangster rap in it, but it's, you really have to focus on this all day, every day, right? And I think it's this idea that it's all day, all the time, like put on some Jay-Z music and, you know, rock yourself out, have that confidence, go after it every single day. And that's what it takes to be influential, because it is a constant battle of being relevant and being forward thinking and making it happen. In a consulting capacity and what we do in business, the first thing that any organization asks us when they want to work with us is, who else are you working with? You know, like, what have you done lately? It's always not just about references, people that they can call to say, is this person any good? Because let's be honest, a reference, if you give somebody a bad reference, then that's just dumb, right? So of course you're going to give somebody a reference that would have something nice to say. So people want to know where you're visible in the industry. They want to know what you've done. And so a lot of the things that I do sometimes are for that purpose. They're just to be out there, to be engaged, to be involved. So that way when someone does think, I would love a strategic planning facilitator, I'm top of mind because they've seen me in the trades or they've seen me at different events or conferences, et cetera. And it really is that visibleness that creates proven results. When I have talked to different leaders and things, we talk about brand or we talk about relationships, we talk about all these things. And it's this idea that people just want to see you in action. What have you done for me lately? You know, what industry involvement are you a part of, et cetera? And that comes in a few facets, and I want to dig into a couple of those. And so when it comes to building influence, the first thing I would want you to do is find out where you're at. Do a status check, right? Where are you? Ask some people, could you actually pick up the phone and get important people into your office, or would they look to you for advice on certain situations? And is it for the purpose that you want it? Sure, I might be able to influence people in the bar, and I actually am pretty you know, influential in the bar. But that, how does that help me in my career? How does that help me moving forward in the business things that I want to work on? So, you know, do a status check, figure out where you're at, and then build that network. I think that's kind of the first action in that, is building a network. Find out where your raving fans are. Develop relationships. Be the person that's good at remembering names. Be the person that is good at talking about, you know, people's relationships and building that affinity or that you know, that underlying commonality or relationship with the different people that you work with, because people want to be around, you know, people like that. And that, in a sense, becomes influence. I also think it's the idea of being top of mind, as I mentioned. I work with some different CEOs that love to golf, right? And I also love to golf. I hesitate because I really, really like to golf. It's just my skill and capacity aren't necessarily as high as my energy level when it comes to being on the golf course. Nonetheless, we talked about the fact that the golf, for example, is a great place where just being there makes you more top of mind. Just being involved in the different networks, and golf happens to be one of those traditional business places that, you know, business could happen, right? And so just being, you know, the one that is around. I think there's also, you may have watched our Volunteer to the Top and Always Say Yes podcast. And that plays into the influence piece as well. Be the person that is happy to help, right? Be the person that can be there or that is accessible. The final piece that in this is kind of two parts. First is professional designation, and the other is like a philanthropy. And they kind of have the same role. And what I mean by that is designations. Sometimes people want to be around people that are in their communities, meaning their designation. So whether you're a certified this or you're part of this particular network or, you know, whatever, depending on your industry. And so having those designations can help build that influence. On the other side of that, with the philanthropy, it's similar to a community, right? People like to be around people that support the things that they love as well. One of the networks or things that I'm pretty involved in is the Children's Miracle Network. So I've been involved in their Young Leaders Board and trying to energize young people in giving back and how we can do that as organizations, et cetera. And being part of that network, not only from a young leader capacity, but also from that being at events, sometimes people just want to be around other people that are also giving back to a certain, a certain outreach or a certain kind of charity or just have the same passions or values when it comes to that. I had recently, when I was writing the strategic MVP and was working with Mark Thompson, we interviewed different people to be part of the book. And I had the opportunity to meet Ingrid Vandervelt. And she is a very high-powered businesswoman. And so I was able then to ask her for an interview and get her thoughts to be able to share, to be a part of the strategic MVP book. And we were talking about networking and influence and the importance of that. So she's a businesswoman, entrepreneur. She's has a passion for empowering 1 billion women by 2020. So she's definitely worth, you know, taking a look at and following on social media. But one of the things that she said that was so powerful is that influence creates an exponential impact. Influence creates an exponential impact. So if you think about that for a second, it comes like twofold for her. One, that you get a greater outreach, right? But also businesses, big businesses, high-powered organizations want to work with a person of influence because when they dedicate the resources to that person, they're focusing their energy and investing those resources and then able to have impact on a grander scale because that person of influence touches so many other people, right? And so this idea of influence really can just take whatever you want to create to the entirely to the next level. And, you know, one person that I know in my kind of career and experience that I've seen this do that very thing over and over is Frank J. Diekman. Now, him and I have spoken together on panels and at conferences. We have, you know, high-fived in the halls of many a different business meeting running back and forth. But he's the cooperator in chief at CUtoday.info, an organization that he has created to get the news out and to keep people in the financial services industry informed. He has started and transitioned multiple businesses. He's also, you know, a great speaker and one that always challenges the status quo and keeps us all on our feet. So please join me in welcoming Mr. Frank Diekman. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Brandy, and thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. So tell me a little bit first about CU Today and what you're up to these days.
We are a digital news platform. I'm an old, frankly, an old newspaper guy. Started out in newspapers, have transitioned into digital media. And we try to be and strive to be the number one source for news and other resources for leaders in the credit union space.
That's awesome. And you've done this now. Like, I feel like you are the godfather of news in credit union land. You really are, because, you know, you've kind of creating... What was that?
Longer than I probably like to admit.
So when it comes to networking and influence, you know, why is it important to you?
Oh, I think it's important to everyone. But the question you have to ask yourself is, what is it that you're seeking to do? You know, and what is the point in trying to network or to be influential? You know, so many people think about networking as exposing themselves to others. Hmm. But really, the best way to think of networking is exposing others to yourself.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Flip-flop.
There's a lot of reasons for that. You know, you may not agree with what someone has to say, but you may not agree with their position. But learning where pushback lies, learning where objections lie, mm-hmm. learning where other points of view lie are so critical. And to learn those things ahead of time. And it may very well be that, and as I've learned a million times in my career, that I am, in fact, not right.
You just said that on the podcast, by the way. People are going to see that, Frank.
It's not going to be reported that way. So, you know, so that's the first thing is exposing yourself to other people more than trying to ensure that they are exposed to you. I think that is overthought sometimes. After that, you know, there's a lot of what I've often heard referred to, and I did not coin the phrase, unarticulated knowledge. That is, there's a lot of things that people know that they don't know, and they don't know that they know, with all due respect to our previous defense secretary. They, you know, they know there's so much unarticulated knowledge in every single industry, and exposing yourself to that is as valuable as any class or course or postgraduate degree that you can get. And so much of that goes wasted. I can tell you that in our field, we, as my journalism career, have always tried to conduct exit interviews with retiring CEOs because they take so much knowledge with them, and it's just such a great source to tap. So that's the first thing I think that you really need to understand in terms of where networking works. The piece of that is, you know, branding. This word branding gets used so often, and it's overused. And, you know, just as a business can put on a new coat of colors or a new slogan, any person can, you know, essentially rebrand
slap
themselves.
A new logo. Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's not about the logo. It's really about the experience. Mm-hmm. And, it comes down to how authentic are you? And that can be a little bit corny, too. But it's funny how we keep coming back to the basics. And, you know, if you tell me that my call matters to you, then you should answer it.
Right.
And so often that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And so authenticity and following through and just listening are really key components in networking.
And then they really help you build that influence. And I love that you said that because one of my biggest challenges for young people is coming to the table informed. You know, I love having young people at the table. I love new spirit and energy and whatever, but do not say something that's already been said or do not come ignorant of what has come before. You can still challenge it, but be aware or informed of it.
Yeah, one of the paradoxes of that is that people think of networking and influencing as you doing the talking. And yet the irony is that by listening, people actually think you are talking.
That's funny. Yep.
They like being listened to.
So what have you done then to build your businesses? Now, what I love about your kind of journey in journalism, and you even said it from right at the top, is from newspaper, and now you're entirely online, right? So
we've actually gone backward into print as well.
Oh, have you a little bit? Okay. So in that progression in between print and all the new medias, what have you learned, you know, throughout the years when it comes to influence and building these relationships? You know, how have you applied that?
In terms of building a business, what I have always tried to do, and you know, I wish there was some, I could share some magic bullet, but I can, just speaking for myself and in the businesses I've been a part of, I've simply tried to outwork other people. And you know, I wish there were a fancier term for it, and I wish I could claim that I had some brilliant insight, but basically it comes down to, in my career, has been trying to outwork people. And I think that that sometimes gets overlooked in this day and age of like killer apps. Everyone thinks, well,
overnight
I have an app.
Success or something. Uh-huh.
Right. I have an app, I have an IPO, and I'll retire. And, you know, those are kind of a misleading example for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks they're going to go on Shark Tank, the sharks are going to invest, and I'm all done.
Right.
And for a large part, for 99.9% of all business startups, that's never going to be the case.
Right.
And it comes down to good old fashioned work. And, you know, in my case, you get to work at 7, I'll be there at 6. You work till 6, I'll work till 10. You know, you work 6 days a week, I'll work 8. And, you know, those are, if you're thinking about going into business, you need to be prepared to either do those things or recognize that you're going to be up against people who have that kind of work ethic.
I love that. And you and I were sharing a bit of that over a meal recently about the idea of hard work. And that's why we have this whole segment on the podcast about kicking ass. And it's this idea that people will ask, like, how are you doing these things? Or why are we different when we came from the same place? What makes, and it is entirely about hard work. Like, I wasn't born with any musical talent or, you know what I mean? Like, and all of it is entirely because I work my ass off.
Well, we all know when we've interacted with a restaurant, as you just mentioned, or a business where people are working hard, mm-hmm. you can tell. Mm-hmm. And we also know immediately when we're in a place where people are not working hard.
Yes.
And it's funny, it's such a basic, but, and you can go to all the business schools you want. If you're not willing to work hard, it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't. So how does social media then, in all of these progressions, how does social media play a role in this digital age of journalism and influence?
Well, social media has probably had a greater impact on, at least as much of an impact on the journalism, and certainly the newspaper business has been well documented as any other business vertical. Mm-hmm. It has made for an awful lot of noise. One thing it has done is just emphasize, if I could speak to the issue of the word media there, is that, you know, we talk about big media now and people talk about media elites. Essentially, anybody with a smartphone is in the media now. And they're capable of broadcasting news, they're capable of reporting news, or at least their take on that news. Mm-hmm. And it's had a real effect. But the flip side to that is that it has allowed really legitimate news organizations, I believe, to prove their worth in a sense that, you know, if you're getting your news from social media, you are probably pretty much uninformed. So you really have to take advantage of the noise, if you will, mm-hmm. and there's an opportunity there again. I talked about authenticity earlier to be an authentic source again. Social media has it certainly put a lot of pressure on everyone in the media.
It has, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Constantly meet deadlines.
Right.
You know, in our business, when I started out, we had a weekly deadline. Now we have in our business, we're on deadline essentially 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And you know, that's just the nature of the game. And I certainly could have lived without the internet being invented for at least another 20 years, but absent that, again, you just have to outwork it.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that about the pressure too, because ignoring that realm of media isn't always smart too. Like I've worked with some businesses that say, oh, that's not who we are, that's not part of whatever, and then they're just going to completely disconnect from where the world is going.
Unless you're Amish, you cannot disconnect in that
way. Yeah, yeah. Agreed. So tell us then an experience or horrific example or something crazy that you've learned along the way when it comes to influence.
I am an ongoing student at the School of Hard Knocks. I have a magnum cum laude degree from there. You know, I've learned just about every lesson, hard and small and big picture and small picture over the years. I've never had a mentor in my career, and I probably would have benefited from one and certainly could have saved me from a lot of mistakes. I think of when I first came into the credit union space. I used to be a sports reporter, and I was actually then working as a banking reporter. And when I was first asked to cover credit unions, for those who are familiar with them, and even people who are not, it was really considered to sort of be the JV team. These just little financial co-ops that, you know, no one really paid much attention to, and they were the junior league compared to banks. And when I was first starting out as a reporter, I was invited to cover a credit union meeting, and I only got selected because I was the low person on the totem pole.
Wow.
And I went to that meeting, and I came back to the newspaper I was working with at the time, and I was asked, you know, by people around the table, and I was last in line, Frank, did you get anything? You know, what did you think of those credit union people? And I remember my response was, you know, what a bunch of yokels. What a bunch of jokes.
Right.
Because I really made a mistake at that time of kind of going in with a bias and thinking
and
seeing what I saw as a weakness there. The, you know, credit unions were all about sharing and helping one another and doing the right thing. And I had been working as a bank reporter where just the opposite of all those
much more hardcore,
pretty
sure.
Much all the business objectives. And I really learned a lesson there, a hard lesson about what a mistake it is to march into something with a preconceived notion and a bias. And it took me a while to realize, it took me quite some time to realize that what I saw as a weakness in that industry was in fact a strength. Beyond that, I've made just about every small pragmatic and philosophical mistake you can make. I've made mistakes in terms of business partnerships and people I've gone into business with. I will tell you that, you know, if you think a marriage is an iffy proposition, a business,
going to business
partnership is a really iffy proposition.
And there's no sex.
And there's no...
Well, I mean, I guess depending on the business partnership.
Yeah, it depends on the business model. Somebody usually gets screwed in most partnerships, so you never know. But I tell you that that's another lesson I've learned is that the people you go into business with and the people you work with, whether it's in an office or in some sort of a joint endeavor, are so critical to it that they're much more important than any business plan you might ever develop.
And those are, I think, really great takeaways for everybody that's joining us as well. Frank, thank you so much for being a part of this today. It's so exciting to see your face, and I'm sure I'll see you on the road here very soon. I appreciate you sharing some of the hard knocks, but also I think that I definitely want to celebrate the amazing things that you've created in that in the credit union industry, but beyond, and just having a voice and all of that. So thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Have a good one.
G'day everyone, I'm Hans.
I'm Nikki.
And we're in downtown Melbourne, Australia, and we just wanted to say you're listening to Brandy Stankovic on the Strategic Hotbox. So enjoy, she's got some great stuff. See you around.
Enjoy.
Bye.
So thank you to Frank for being our guest today, but also thank you to Hans for sending us a shout out from the other side of the planet. I actually met Hans while I was camping in Scandinavia, and we've been long distance best friends ever since. Talk about the power of the internet and things. And it really shows the power of relationships too. And here, you know, I'm on this crazy new adventure with a podcast, and he sends me a shout out from downtown Melbourne, and the accent is pretty awesome too. So thank you, Hans and Nikki. I really appreciate that. So after we had our chance to talk to Frank, I really want to get in now to our time to kick some ass. It's our top five ready for you and how to take away and what you can do to make a difference and how you can apply some of these things that we talked about. Because influence and the idea of networking and influencing people really is the opportunity to build different businesses. And although Frank, in his discussions of the hard knock side, I love that he was humble in that. And I also appreciate that because I know how much he has created and succeeded in the industry and being able to offer and reinvent himself. And journalism is certainly a place where a lot of progression has taken place. And so we're lucky to have someone like Frank kind of show us the way. So our first one really has to do with, he mentioned it a little, I mentioned a little, do a status check. Find out how influential are you or where do you want to be? And I think the one thing that Frank kind of framed was, you know, how is it that you want to be going across? Like, where do you want to go? What do you want to be doing? And so have that in mind so it focuses your efforts and that are out there and really get a status check of where you're at now. Be realistic about where you're at now. The second is building this network of raving fans. I think that I cannot push people enough to be open with their relationships. I try my darndest, and really it's just been the last few years recognizing that we can't nurture every relationship on the planet, but I sure want to, because I don't want to leave any of the friends that I have, you know, in my past. I'm not necessarily leaving beyond, because they are progressing and doing amazing things as well, but I just mean like not staying in touch with people, not staying, you know, top of mind or in people's lives. And I want to have a network of relationships that do that. So when you do have an ask for people, people are there for you. And the opposite is also true. So many people in my network, I mean, just shoot me the ask and I'm in. I almost always am a person that's saying yes before I even know what I'm really doing, right? But it's this network of these people that are in your boat, that'll put themselves on the line for you. And that can make a big difference. Some people call it like a board of directors, or some people call it, and not in it's a metaphoric board of directors. And some people might call it their family or their cohorts or whatever, but really this network of people that are in it to win it and know what your focus and goal is. When I went through the doctoral process, I found very quickly in that process that I just don't mess around, right? I mean, I think you've gathered this from me in general, but I just don't mess around. And I certainly don't mess around when it comes to that academics. And I didn't even have kids back then. Thank God. I don't know how I would have done it if I did. But in that process, like by the second semester, I realized that we had group work in every class. I realized that I needed to find somebody that had the same value system, the same forward thinking that I did, and that would support whatever energy that I had for projects. And so I ended up finding this cohort, this partner in crime named Matt Payton. Fabulous guy from Lubbock, Texas. He would fly in. I actually think he's moved in different places now, but he would fly in for class every week. And I just knew every time there's group work, we knew we'd be in the same group. So whether it was a partner or there was a big group, we just knew at least that we'd be there, because we had the same values of what it took. Like we were going to get it done. It was going to be on time, and it was going to be good quality work. I mean, we're talking basic stuff here, right? But not everybody shares that, right? They might have different priority levels and things. And so it was, once we found each other, it was great. We helped each other all the way through the dissertation process, all the way through the classes and everything. And so I think that that's so true in this influence as well. Find a group of people that aren't competitive with you in a negative way, but maybe competitive spirit. So we're both growing together, but that have your back, right? That you know will be there for you, and vice versa, you will be there for them. Number three is join a professional organization. Complete those designations, do the community thing, the business, the Chamber of Commerce, or any sort of business organizations in your communities or in your industries. I mean, I don't care if it's even that crew of dudes that drive Chevy trucks that have lunch together on Tuesdays at the Boulder Dam Hotel here in town. I mean, you just get together with like-minded people, and because it creates that kind of more broader scope. Number four, support the cause. Figure out what causes are important to you and get around passionate people that are also supporting causes. It can help build and create that influence. And finally, focus your efforts. Know exactly what it is that you want to be going after and go after it. You know, I was talking recently to a good friend of mine. We were at a workshop together, and she's in education and in training in a corporation. And unfortunately, currently, that's not part of the path to CEO, right? And so one thing I said to her is that that's the most amazing position. You'll know more than anybody in the whole organization, but it's not going to get you to CEO. So if you want to be CEO, just look at it as a matter of fact, go cool, and know that you're going to have to bounce around, broaden thing, or just change all barriers and break all glass ceilings. Either one, just know what you want to do and go after it, right? Focus those efforts. So there are your top five kick-ass. So thank you so much for being a part of this Strategic Hot Box. Thank you again to Frank for being our guest and sharing his wisdom with us. We'd love to hear from you on any topics that you want us to chew up here in the Strategic Hot Box. And you can share your thoughts on Twitter, Instagram, @BrandiLove, BrandiLuv, or email podcast@strategichotbox.com. And then, of course, make sure you subscribe, and not to worry, it's on iTunes and Vimeo and YouTube and the Strategic Hot Box and the Vegas Video Network and so many different places, that no matter what, we have a place that you can get a hold of these podcasts. We're making it super easy for you, because when we first launched, people were like, well, I have a Samsung phone. First of all, like, who has Samsung? No, just kidding. But it's but it's just this idea that, you know, we want to make it accessible for anybody. So join us. And then, of course, if you want any the access to ongoing leadership tools or read more about Ingrid Vandervelt and things we talked about today, please pick up a copy of my book. It's called The Strategic MVP, co-written with Mark Thompson, and it's available anywhere that they sell books. So thank you for being a part of it today, and go kick some ass.